How many grateful for the Christmas season? Anybody grateful for the Christmas season? It's a great time of year. How many of you are ready for Christmas here in a few days? Are you ready? Anybody ready for Christmas? How many of you still got some shopping to do? Raise your hand. Bless your soul. How many of you already done? You've been done for a little while. There you go. Look at these preparers. All the rest of y'all just procrastinators. Y'all going to be going to Walgreens on Christmas Eve at 11:59 trying to grab your mama some candles or something. How many have ever done that before? Like you went to Walgreens the night before. See? It's like the only thing that's open, you know? Hey, I hope you'll join us here in a few days. We're going to have Christmas Eve at Skybreak at 4 and 6 p.m. There's going to be a lot of fun stuff happening. We're going to have some candlelight on the service, and there's some fun for all the kids. And there's a little bit of some surprises that are going to happen. So I'm just going to kind of sprinkle that fairy dust out there, and you'll have a little fun with that. But I'm excited to preach today. I want to continue what we've been talking about in Isaiah chapter 9. If you have your Bible, turn me to Isaiah chapter 9. We've got the anchor scripture that started last weekend about the names of God, the prophecy that was given to us 700 years before Jesus ever hit the scene. A promise that God gave us that rings true through generation after generation. And so I want us to keep reading that today, and then we're going to unpack a story of the birth of Jesus, but something that maybe you've never noticed before, and I believe that it's going to bless your life. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor." Anybody thankful for your Wonderful Counselor? We heard it last week. Pele Yoetz, that's the Hebrew translation. Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. I want to lean into this thought today about how He is a mighty God. He's a mighty God. And I want to preach to you from the title today, and you'll understand it more when we get into the story. And that is, how can I be sure? Question that we've all asked ourselves a time or two. How can I be sure? Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word. We thank you for all that you're doing. We ask, Lord, that you would speak to us today. Speak to us in the hidden places of our life, the places that maybe we've not unveiled to you, that you already know that they exist anyway. But God, I pray, Lord, the things that you want to say to each individual today, I pray, Lord, that you would enlighten them with your word. We thank you, Lord, that your word brings truth, and where there is truth, there is freedom. And God, I pray, Lord, that those who feel bound today, bound by a heaviness, bound by an addiction, bound by a struggle, God, we believe and we know that we serve a mighty God. A mighty God, the God of the impossible. And so, Lord, we pray, Lord, today that you would do the impossible in people's lives. Those who thought the church walls were going to fall down when they walked in here today, they're still standing. Why? Because you're a mighty God. So, God, we give you praise and glory today as we've gathered under your name as one body, as your church. We pray, Lord, today that our worship would be a sweet incense to you today, a sweet incense. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everyone said a big amen. Amen. Give somebody else a hug before you take a seat. It's a Christmas season. Y'all like, man, we hug everybody. Yes, we do. Some of y'all are all jacked up right now because the floor seating is all different and you ain't in your normal seat. Some of y'all got OCD and you're like twitching already because so-and-so's in your seat today. I love it. Anybody love just making people feel awkward? I do. Y'all walked in and y'all were like, mm-mm. Who did this? Where my seat at? I've been in this seat for the last 6 years and somebody's in my seat and my seat ain't even where it's supposed to be. Anyway. Have you ever had a time where you had a family member who had a child and when they revealed the name of that child, you just thought, wow. They might be near you today, so don't make any big sudden movements. But I've got to say, we have gotten really creative today. We've got some interesting and creative people today who have come up with some of the most unique names that you can come up with. As a matter of fact, I did some research this week I just Googled it. And I just said, what are some of the most unique names that are out there today that people have, like people that just try too hard, you know, they try really hard to come up really. So I want to reveal some of those to you today to help you out a little bit. This is the first one. Let's put it up. This is the first name. When you look at it, you know, I was trying to figure out what were they doing here? Like, were they trying to be, like, real beautiful and sweet, like Leia, you know, like, that looks, no, that's not what this parent did. That name is LaDasha. Like, when they go to type in their name on something, that they're like, we cannot use interesting characters, you know, they're not even going to be able to put their name on an application for a job. LaDasha. Okay, here, let's. This one's a true story. We've met this person, but I'll explain it. This is the next one. Let's put the next one up. Okay. This guy's name is Richard Chop. Matter of fact, there's a doctor in Austin. He's retired now. He's a urologist. A urologist who does vasectomies. And his name is Richard Chop. Do you know the nickname of Richard? The parents just set up his destiny. And his practice is on Jollyville Lane. There ain't nothing jolly. It's a true story. Somebody in this room has had that procedure done by Richard Chop on Jollyville Lane. And I won't reveal to you who that was. All right, here's the next one. This is true, y'all. They just straight up say, you know what? I don't even know. We're just going to put A, B, C, D, E, you know? You know how this is pronounced? Absidy. It's creative. People get so creative with this. Okay, here's another one. Here's the next one. Somebody like, what? They must have loved Roman numerals because that name is pronounced Caitlin. Caitlin. Because the Kate, V-I-I-I, that's an 8 in Roman numerals, L-Y-N, Caitlin. People are just getting creative. Okay, let's do the next one. Can you take a guess at what you might think the pronunciation of this is? This, adrenaline is the what you receive. No. The mom was really mad with the doctor mispronounced. It's adrenaline. Adrenaline. All right, look, this is the first and last name. The parents having real fun with this one. Next one. They named this kid Tomorrow. The sun will come out tomorrow. Tomorrow. All right, now this one's funny to me because I can only imagine a dad who just sitting there looking. Let's throw the next one up. He was looking at his little girl that was born and he said, well, you know what? One day we're just going to call her Lady. Lady. That's it. Lady. My grandfather had a dog named Lady. I'm like, you couldn't have thought of any other name than Lady. Lady. I don't mean to offend anybody if these are any of your names today, but I'm just saying we like to have fun in naming our kids. Creative names. We put these things together, but names carry a lot of meaning. And whether we realize it or not, every time you say someone's name, you're actually saying a declaration. Biblically speaking, whenever you would name something, you actually claim authority over it. It is something that is confessing and professing a declaration in a place of authority. That's why God tells us who he will be called, because no one has authority over God. No one. He names himself, he reveals himself, he defines himself, he reveals himself with the name Mighty God. Not like used to be mighty, not like someday mighty, but mighty right now. Still able, still powerful, still working. He named himself Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. That's the God that we serve. In the Gospel of Luke, when you start to open up the book and you begin to look for the Christmas story, Luke doesn't start to tell us the story of Mary and Joseph in Luke chapter 1. When you first look to uncover this story, he actually begins to talk about this old couple named Zechariah and Elizabeth. As you would imagine, you would think when you open up the Gospels, you would open up and you would see where it starts with the story of Mary and all this. But no, that's not what Luke does. Luke begins to tell us from a different perspective something else. Luke 1 tells us that there was a man named Zechariah who was a faithful priest, and he was just serving faithfully. And on an ordinary day, on an ordinary assignment, all of a sudden an angel shows up out of this regular routine that he was doing, and the angel says, "Your prayer has been heard. You are going to have a son. That nothing is impossible for God." And Zechariah responds to this angel on this ordinary day, on this regular routine. I mean, if an angel showed up to you, I don't know how you would respond. But Zechariah responds with this question that an angel saying, "You're going to have a son. Your prayers have been heard." And he asks the question, "How can I be sure?" Really? Like, that's the kind of response you're going to have, Zechariah, to an angel that's come? You know, when we think of angels coming to speak to you, you know, and why is it that every time you read scripture and an angel comes to talk to somebody, they say, "Do not be afraid"? You know, we have this image of angels like these cute little babies with wings, and, you know, they come down like a dove and they're like, "Hello," you know, and they all sweet. No, they have like swords with fire. No wonder they got to say, "Don't be afraid." An angel comes to him and says that. He says, "But how can I be sure?" Here's the thing that I've discovered. Disappointment has a way of aging us faster than time ever could. It will age you faster. Zechariah isn't doubting because he's rebellious. He's doubting because he's tired. He's had decades of faithfulness, years of obedience. He's still showing up. He's still praying. He's still doing all the things that he knows he's supposed to do. But somewhere along the way, disappointment whispered, "Maybe it's too late. Maybe you're too old. Maybe there's the timetable has passed on." And that's dangerous. Because you can be standing in the presence of an angel and still struggle to believe that God can do the impossible. And I've found in life that there are some people who are old in their years, but they are young in faith. And then I've also come into contact with some people who are young in their years, but they are ancient in their spirit. Any older people in the room today, make some noise. Older people, make some noise. Some of y'all don't want to admit it. All right, yeah, be proud about that. Any young people in the room, make some noise. Some of y'all didn't do anything because you're like, "I don't even know who I am. I don't even know where I fit. I'm like in that in between, you know." You're still confused. But you see, you know you're old in spirit when you stop believing that God can do impossible things. And I've met some people that are old in age, but man, they are young in their faith. They're like, "I may have snow on the rooftop, but I got fire in the chimney, baby." Anybody ever heard that quote before? My dad likes to say that all the time. What I love about Zechariah and Elizabeth is that even when they didn't see the results that they've been praying for, they never stopped believing that God can do the impossible. They never stopped being consistent. And Luke begins to describe, when you read the story of Luke chapter 1, he begins to describe Zechariah and Elizabeth as people who were righteous and blameless, not perfect, but just faithful. And you see, there is a difference between intensity and consistency. And I'll take consistency over intensity every single time, because anybody can show up once. Have you met that person where they show up, they're all on fire, they're ready to go, they're like, I'll be your best friend for all the days of your life, and just as fast as they came in is just as fast as they leave. But God loves people who keep showing up for decades and decades and decades and day after day, and they're just faithful, and they keep praying, and they keep believing. There's something about consistency that positions you to see the mightiness of God. It puts you in a posture. Yes, God can move in a moment, but there is something powerful about Him proving Himself in faithfulness over time. There's something about that. That's why He didn't just say, I'm the God of just yesterday. He said, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm the God of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. That I've been mighty for generations, and I'm not going to fail you now. And yet, Zechariah and Elizabeth's calling didn't match their circumstance. What do I mean? Well, when you look up the name Zechariah, when we talked about names and the names and their meaning, when you look up in Hebrew the name Zechariah, his name literally means God remembers. Elizabeth's name, when you look that up in the original Hebrew, the original meaning of that literally means his oath. So when you put their names together, the declaration that when you say their name is essentially God remembers his oath. He remembers his promise, but yet they were still childless. Righteous, but barren. Favored, but still in the waiting. So the question that I'm asking you today is, what do you do when God calls you? When what he calls you doesn't look like what you're living. What do you do? What do you do when God says that you're blessed, but the numbers are not adding up at the end of the month? What do you do when God says you can have peace, but yet anxiety keeps knocking at the door? What do you do when God says you're favored, but you feel completely forgotten, wondering where he is? I'm here to tell you today, you cannot live on the whispers of other people when God has already spoken his promise. If God says you're blessed, you're blessed. If God says you're a victor, then guess what? You are a victor. If God says you are chosen, then you're chosen. If he says you are beautifully and wonderfully made, you are beautifully and wonderfully made. If he says you're an heir, a royal priesthood, then you're an heir. You are not what your circumstance says, you are who God says. And we forget that in our world today. And what happens in this story in Luke chapter 1, what feels like a normal day, an ordinary routine, God steps in. They've been faithful. Zechariah has been faithful. He's been consistent. We just know that they're old in age. I don't even know how old they are, but it's enough to say that they're old in age. The Bible's like, they're old. And if the Bible says they're old, they're old. And what's happening on this ordinary day is, you got to understand, they were casting lots to see which priest would do the routine of the temple that day. And he thought that this was just, he got picked. And he thought, oh, this is just a normal routine assignment. This is normal things, a regular schedule. But what Zechariah thought was ordinary, God had set up and marked as an appointed time. That in his ordinary, God was going to come in and do something extraordinary. Normal day. Here's what's crazy. There were 20,000 priests that could have been picked that day. They were casting lots. They're literally like playing dice. Like, here, all right, it's you. Here's how we're going to do that. And out of 20,000 priests, Z gets picked. One name out of all of them, he gets picked. And that's how God often shows up in his might. It's often not in some dramatic, we want God to like blow something up in front of us to be like, oh! But it's often not in the dramatic. It's in the everyday that God likes to show up. You think it's a routine, but God says it's providence. It is something completely different than what you can imagine. And an angel says, your prayers have been heard. Not the new one, the old one. What do I mean? The one that you assumed had expired because it hasn't happened on your timetable yet. Not the one that's evolved because you're like, well, you know, maybe I need to change my prayer. God says, no, I've heard your prayer. The one you've been praying. The one you were believing for. And Zechariah responds, how can I be sure? And that question reveals how disappointment has aged his faith. He wasn't simply asking for clarity. He was demanding proof. There's a difference between asking for clarity and demanding certainty. There's a major difference when you read this story of Zechariah and his response to the angel and Mary, the mother of Jesus. Their response is very different. An angel comes to Zechariah and he says that your prayer has been heard. You're going to have a son. And Zechariah's response is, prove it. How can I be sure? Prove it. Give me some sort of certainty. I've been here too many times. I've been praying this for too long. I need you to prove it then. Show me. But an angel comes to Mary, a young girl, the Virgin Mary, and an angel says the exact same thing. You're going to have a son. And her response, although it sounds similar, is completely different in its posture. She didn't say, how can I be sure? She says, how will this happen? Mary believed that God could do it. She just wanted to understand how. How can this happen? I am still a virgin. I have not been with anyone. And what happens is Mary gets an explanation. And because Zechariah wanted proof, God puts him on mute. Read the story. Because he questioned, the angel said, because you did not believe, he muted him. And he said, until that baby is born, you will not be able to speak. Because when you doubt, When that is the first thing that comes out of your mouth towards the promise of God, sometimes God will quiet you long enough to show you what he can do without your commentary. God's saying, I can do things that sometimes you just got to be quiet. And if God has ever put you on mute, guess what you're left to do? You just got to sit there and watch him work. Just watch him work. You see, somewhere along the way, Zechariah lost his childlike wonder to believe that God could still do the impossible. And that matters because Jesus said you can't even enter the kingdom of God without acting like a child, becoming like a child. You see, but there is a difference between being childish and childlike. And so when I'm reading scripture, I'm trying to understand. Jesus says you've got to become like a child in order to enter the kingdom. But then Paul goes on to say, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Oh, there's a difference. There's a difference between being childlike and childish. Childish faith says I expect everything and I give nothing. I expect God to open doors for me. I expect for him to do all the things, give me all the promises, all the prosperity, all the blessings, all the favor, but I don't want to do anything. He's the God who serves me. That's a childish faith. But a childlike faith says, my God can do anything. He can do anything, and whatever I need to do, God, I will do it. I will serve you. If you say jump, I say how high. I don't ask why. I literally told my kid this the other day. I'm like, every time I say something, you always got something to say. But what if I say jump, you need to just ask how high. Matter of fact, don't even ask the question. Just start jumping. Look like a bunny. Anybody ever had to have that conversation with your kid before? Like, every time I say something, you got to ask why. And you got to complain. And you got to have a lip back and say something. Come on, am I talking to any parents today? Somebody like, I feel set free already. That's all I needed to hear. You see, some of us, when it comes to God doing things in our life, some of us hadn't said wow in a really long time. Why don't you just look at your neighbor for a minute, look them in the eye, get them to know their eye color real quick. Is it brown? Is it blue? Is it black? If it's black, you need to run. Get to know it real quick. Look at it and I say, just say wow. Now say it backwards to the person next to you. Say wow. That took y'all a little bit too long to figure that out. The problem is in life is we get so informed that we're no longer inspired. We get so educated that we don't even know how to be expectant anymore. That we become so critical because of everything we read and see that we just completely stop believing that God can do the impossible. Here's the reality. God will always do his part, but he will expect you to do yours. What do I mean? You see, God in the scripture, in Luke, in the story between Zechariah and Elizabeth, God opened Elizabeth's womb. But Zechariah had to go home. He had to do his part. You see, God can open the doors, but you still got to walk through them. And here's the thing I've come to understand about God opening doors. We want God to open that door, but sometimes he says, I got to open that door before I can open that door. But God, I don't like that door. I don't want to go out that door. But in order for you to get to that door, God says, I've got to open this door and you got to go through this. So that means there's going to be maybe some things in your life. You're like, God, I don't want to do that. I don't want to go there. Can you not just open that door? And we stand in the waiting tunnel of this vomitorium waiting for God to open that door. And this door has been flung wide open, but we're like, no, that's not God. I'm believing, and God's gonna open this door, and God's like, I've already opened the door, you just gotta walk through it. God can provide that job opportunity, but guess what? You still gotta apply. Well, I just believe a job's gonna finally just fall itself in my lap. And it might, but I also believe I'm not gonna win the lottery either. I can't just expect, if I don't plant any crops, I'm not going to get any harvest. And some of us are waiting on God to move, and maybe he's waiting on you to respond. You're praying and you're believing, and God says, I'm just waiting on you to respond. I've already spoken. I've already opened the door. And when God starts moving, here's something I've learned in my life, is you need the right people around you who will believe with you. You need the right people in your life. You see, Mary and Elizabeth, when they got together, the Bible says that the promise in Elizabeth's womb leaped. John was filled with the Holy Spirit in that moment, and he jumped the moment he heard Mary speak. Why? Because faith recognizes faith. Promise responds to promise. And when you get around other people who have faith with you and can believe with you, when you start to speak something, you need friends that don't flinch when you share what God told you. There's some people you share the dreams and the visions that God has given you in your life. God said this is going to happen. And they're like, how can I be sure? How can you be so sure? Instead of the friends, you need these friends in your life that will say, let it be to me as the Lord has said it. That I don't know how he's going to do it, but I know that he is a God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly all that I could ever ask, think, or imagine. That he is still the God of the impossible. How he's going to do it, I don't know. How can this be? Was what the response of Mary gave. How can it be? I've never even been with a man. And God says, that's okay. The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you and you're going to conceive a child and you're going to name him Jesus. And he's going to save all of humanity. Imagine how Mary felt. You see, sometimes when God gives you a word, not everybody else is going to be able to understand it. And you need those right people in your life that when you speak it, they don't flinch. They don't get worried. They're like, all right, God's about to do something. I'm with you. I'm going to stand with you. I'm going to pray with you. This is why we say all the time, you need to join a team at Skybreak. Why? Not so you can just serve and do something, but because you can get around and find your people that you can do life with and you can be on mission with, that people that will believe with you and pray with you, people that you can help raise your family together, people who you can build your faith with and grow your faith so you can become a fully devoted follower of Jesus. You need those people around. You see, eventually, Elizabeth gives birth. And it was amazing to me as I was studying this story. She gives birth, and Zachariah is still on mute. He can't talk. So 9 or 10 months, some of you are like, man, I've been praying that for my husband. I wish that would happen. But she has the baby and family and relatives, and people start to ask, well, what's his name? And they would have expected Elizabeth to say Zachariah, because that would have been cultural. That would have been something normal to be named after the father. And she says, his name will be John. And immediately people begin to doubt. Immediately the relatives begin to question. That name doesn't run in your family. You can't do that. It's never been done before. Nobody in your family has ever stayed married that long. What makes you think you will? Nobody's ever been to college in our family. You came from a lineage of alcoholics. So who do you think you are? You think you're better than everybody else? That you're not going to have the same thing? And people begin to doubt. And so they look at Zechariah, and Zechariah is like, give me my tablet. And on his iPad, he begins to write. Remember, he can't talk. And he writes down, his name is John. And the moment he writes down his name, his mouth opens. And the moment his mouth opens, praise begins to fill his mouth. Because praise is the proper response to the promises of God. Not after it happens, but before it happens. Not when you see it happen, but while you're still in the waiting. Praise is the response. That is the proper way, the proper posture to say, let it be to me according to your word, God. Because that's what Mary did. I want you to know today, God is mighty in the waiting. He's mighty in your waiting. He's mighty in the tension. He's mighty in the contradiction of what God has spoke and what exists in your current reality. I will be called Mighty God. Mighty God. Not a little strong God, no. Mighty God. You see, I believe this season we need to have a Merry Christmas. M-A-R-Y, Christmas. What do I mean? To be able to say, I don't know how, but I believe you can. How will it happen? I believe you're going to do it. Just tell me how it's going to happen. And the angel gave her clarity. Here's how it's going to happen. You're going to conceive a son. You're going to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And it's going to cause you to be pregnant. And you're going to have to go to Joseph. And you're going to have to tell him some things. And Joseph's probably not going to understand. But that's okay. I'm going to take care of Joseph. And I'm going to give him a dream. Mary got clarity. That's the kind of faith we got to have. Not how can I be sure. how will this be? Clarity versus certainty. And I believe that there are some people in this room today that you're in a waiting right now. You've been believing, you've been praying. It's amazing to me that there's story after story, account after account, where there were people believing for something that God, for God to do, a promise that He gave, and they just remain being faithful time and time again. And God always comes through on His promise. Why? Because He is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And here's what I want us to do today. I want us to stand across this room. As I was studying this week, my heart couldn't help but just be burdened by those that are waiting for God to do something, and you've been praying, you've been believing, you've been consistent, you've been faithful. I'm not saying you didn't have some doubts, I'm not saying you haven't kind of been like, well, let me just change my prayer, maybe I just need to alter it and evolve it. No, that happens. But I want you to go back to the same faith and the same prayer that you once prayed. Don't change your prayer just because it hasn't happened. Because He is Mighty God. I said He is Mighty God. And He is still the God of the impossible. That if He said it, it can still happen. And here's what I want to do today. If you are believing for God to do something in your life right now, you've been praying, you've been believing, and you're like, I haven't seen it yet, but I'm kind of struggling right now, and I need my faith to be reignited. I've evolved my prayer, and I need to go back to the original one, because I didn't think my son would come home, and so I just said, well, God, let him at least do this, and you've altered your prayer. No, God, let him come back to his faith, let him run back to the Father, let him see that he is still loved, and that he is still chosen, and that he don't have to live that way. Go back to your original prayer. I'm believing for a child. And we're like, well, maybe not. God, this is just our life. No, go back to believing for a child. Zechariah and Elizabeth were barren, believing. And an angel showed up on an ordinary day. And my prayer is that God's going to show up on an ordinary day in some ordinary routine. And He's going to speak to you a promise of God. And your response doesn't need to be, well, how can I be sure, God? I don't want to be old in my faith. I want to be young in spirit, young in my faith to still believe. Go, God, you can do it. I don't know how you're going to do it. If you got to make me jump through hoops, I'll jump. If you got to do this, I'll do that. Whatever you say, I believe you'll do it. I know it sounds crazy, but when God says it, He will follow through on every single word that He has spoken. Here's what I want to do. If you're believing God to do something today, I want you to lift your hands all across this room. If you are in the waiting in any season of your life that you've been praying and you've been praying and God hasn't done it, I'm telling you, I've been there time and time again. I want to pray for you today because I believe He is still Mighty God. I believe still that He can do the impossible. I believe that He can do exceedingly abundantly all that you can ask, think, or imagine. So, Father, I pray for every single individual that has their hands lifted today, whether in this room or the other side of a screen. God, you know the prayers they've prayed. You know the tears that they've cried. You know the waiting that they've been waiting. Months, years, decades. But God, we know that you are Mighty God. We know and we believe that you are the God of the impossible, that you can do things that humans can't do, that you have a supernatural power that humans don't have. And God, we stand on your word today. And our response is just like Mary. Let it be to me as it has been said by the Lord. God, ignite our faith today. Where we have grown cold, or where we have grown stagnant or complacent, and we've evolved our prayer, and we've kind of just moved on from to say, well, I guess it's not going to happen. God, I pray today that we would go back to the posture of believing, God, you can still do it. And I'm going to keep believing, and I'm going to keep hoping, and I'm going to keep standing on your word. And God, if that is only to just lean my trust into you a little bit more, God, let it be to me as you have said, God. I know you can. I know you're able. I know you're all powerful and all knowing. That you are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. God, you said we are blessed. God, you said we have the victory. God, you said we are favored. We are an heir. We are a royal priesthood. That we are a chosen generation. Your word says you have good plans. God, we trust you today. Remind us of your might. Remind us of your power. Yes, God. Well, why don't we just sing this for
you? You are more than able.
I remember having this conversation with my mother. in the final months, we were talking. 28 years of fight after fight after fight. I know what it means. Our family knows what it means to be in the waiting, believing for God to do something. And I remember her saying, I know God can do it. And there were times when she's like, I don't know what he's going to do. And why am I facing this? God, I've been faithful to you and served your church. If you've ever been there, you know exactly the feeling. God, I've been faithful. Why isn't it happening? And I remember I had made a challenge for myself to, this was a couple years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, I was like, I'm going to read the entire Bible in 30 days. My gosh, that is a challenging challenge. So every day, I got up early, sometimes 4 a.m., just because I wanted to make myself still available to my family. I didn't want to be, you know, so in, like, I'm doing the Lord's things, you know, and everybody do their own thing. Yeah, I'm still a dad, too, and I'm not dumb. And I remember reading time and time again, you know, you're reading through the Old Testament. You're reading where people were falling away and Jesus was, and God was calling them back. And then there were people that were facing all these things over and over again, over and over again, over and over again. And they would go through turmoil, go through trial. And I remember I was reading through a section and my mom was asking these questions. Like, why am I still fighting this? Why am I still? And I said, Mom, God was showing me this recently. And I believe that I was reading it for that specific time to have a new understanding of why pain happens, why waiting happens. And I said, Mom, every time those things were happening, God was revealing his glory through the trial. And I said, even though we don't like it, I said, I don't like it. I don't like that you're suffering. I don't like that you're in pain. I don't like that you got to go to chemo again and you got to go through that again and you can't move your left arm and you got, you know, your lymph nodes and all the things and lymphedema and you're swelling. And I'm like, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And have you ever been tired and you're like, this is ridiculous, God. Come on, anybody, don't be too holy in the room. But I remember I was reading through that and it was like God opened my eyes. He said it. See, we get so wrapped up in what we want that we forget that it's got to be what God wants. And at the end of the day, the question comes is, do I want the glory or am I trying to give it to him? Why is the miracle needed? Now, I believe that God does these miracles not so you would necessarily believe, but so others would see his glory. And I remember that tension in that conversation. And I believe today I'm wanting to tell you, some of you are in the waiting. You're like, why is this happening? Maybe the perspective needs to shift instead of why is this happening? Say, God, who can I minister to through this? Maybe the ultimate miracle isn't the healing. It's the person that needs to hear the gospel through your story. That's the ultimate miracle. But yet we live in such a society where it's all about me. Selfies and me. And, you know, back in the day, we had to... It takes 37 days with the camera film. But now we can post it to the world in seconds, instant. And we live in an instant gratification era. And maybe God is saying, it's time to slow down. Stop looking at you. There's other people in the world that don't know me yet. And maybe your trial is so that someone else can see my triumph. And I remember in that same conversation with my mom, she was like, I remember going to that chemo chair and talking to that woman who's never been there. She's her first time. And I said, let me tell you, honey, God is with you. And she would minister to people while she's hooked up to all these IVs and having the red one. I remember the what they call it, the red one. Red devil was going inside her, and we were anointing that thing with oil. But maybe the trial you're in is so God can give a triumph to the gospel that somebody else needs to hear. So maybe it's, again, it's God do for me. It's God, what do you want to do through me? I know I'm in pain. I know I'm suffering. And I think when we shift our perspective, we start to see the mightiness of God that works through us. And again, I preached this a few weeks ago, but I think it's still so relevant that in the working of God doing something through us, He begins to work on the healing that we really need in our own life. Now, I'm not saying what you hope for will happen, because our hopes and God's plan doesn't always align. I would hope that my mother was still alive. That was my hope. But I saw miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. 28 years of miracles happening time and time again. Ones that I got to walk through, and someone go, how do you still believe in a God when your mama's sick? It said, because I know He's still faithful. Because I know how good He's been. And maybe the miracle isn't her healing. She'll have ultimate healing and glorification when she goes to meet Jesus. But maybe the miracle is there are people watching her be steady and consistent and faithful. And she would sit on that front row and she would... She'd throw up her hands anyway. God, you are mighty. God, you are faithful. God, you are good. And so I came to tell some people today, maybe you just need to come in here and lift your hand and say, God, you're good. God, you're faithful. God, you're mighty. You are a wonderful counselor. Mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. You are everything I need. Father, touch your people today. Let them feel your presence in this room. Restore their heart today. We pray the prayer, Lord, help us in our unbelief. Help us in the areas where our faith has begun to be discouraged. Where our spirit has come to a place of being ancient and it's not young anymore, believing that you are still the God of the impossible. God, help us today to believe, to know that God, if you've done the impossible before, you can do it again. You are the God of yesterday, today, tomorrow. You are the Alpha and you are the Omega. The beginning and the end is what that means. You are all powerful, all knowing. Believe, Lord. Even though we may not understand, we will trust you. You will be faithful. We'll be consistent, just like Zechariah was. And God, even if you've got to put us on mute for a little while so we can hear you speak and stop talking all the time and watch you work, God, we'll do it. Because in the end, you're faithful. In the end, you're good. In the end, every promise you've spoken never returns void unto you. We trust you, Lord. With every head still bowed, every eye still closed in the room today, I believe that there are some of you here and you're hearing about a God who is the God of the impossible, a God who can turn every situation around, a God who is a wonderful counselor, a mighty God. Maybe you were coming on an ordinary day. Someone invited you and you finally decided to show up, and today just feels ordinary. It feels like routine. It's just another day. Let me tell you, it's not another day of the ordinary. You were meant to be here by divine appointment because God said, I wanted to meet with them today. I wanted to reveal myself to them today. Show up to say, I am mighty God. Maybe you don't know Jesus today. He's calling out to you. Maybe you've never put your faith and your hope in Jesus. Maybe, or maybe you have. But you're coming to the realization that you did it, but you really didn't fully do it. You know God, but you don't truly know Him. I want to give you that chance today to surrender your life to Him, to say, Jesus, you are the King. You are the Messiah. You are the Savior. The Bible tells us in Romans 10:9 that if we will confess with our mouth, believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, that God raised Christ from the dead, it says you shall be saved. You see, friend, Jesus came. He came His own creation. He was God incarnate. He put flesh and bone on. He roamed the earth, and yes, He did miracles, but He came to bring salvation to humanity. He came to reconcile the creation with the Creator. And He did it through way of Jesus. And Jesus was nailed to a cross. He had 39 lashes on His back. He had to go through a gruesome beating. But not only did He do that, but when He shed His blood, the blood is what covers our sin. I know that may sound weird. It may sound like, man, that sounds crazy. We got to understand, there had to be a sacrifice. Something pure had to be the atonement for our sin. Had to pay the price. Back then, we would have to bring our, you know, firstborn steer or certain turtle dove or certain things, and we would bring an offering into the Lord to offer a sacrifice so that way our punishment would be pushed another year. And Jesus said, I will be the ultimate sacrifice. I'm going to die in their place so they can spend eternity with me. Maybe you've never prayed that prayer. Maybe you've never fully committed to Jesus to say, I want to make Him Lord of my life and I'm going to follow Him. Through hell or high water, I'm going to trust Him. Because let me tell you, friend, He is faithful. And He is good. And He is kind. And He's got good plans for you. He's a good Father. I'm going to talk about that on Christmas Eve. And I know when you say the word Father, some of us have emotions that come along with that. Because maybe our Father wasn't always present. I want to explain the Heavenly Father, the Everlasting Father. And He is your Father. He loves you. He's here to protect you. So if you don't know Jesus today, I want us to pray this prayer. And I want us all in this room to pray it out loud where our ears can hear us in support of those who are praying it today. Say, dear Jesus, come into my life. Help me to live a new life in you. God, I accept you as Lord and leader of my life. Thank you for sending Jesus to die on a cross for me. And on the third day, raising Him from the grave. I believe in Him. Jesus, you are my Lord. You are my Savior. Thank you for dying for me. Forgive me today. Wash me of my sins. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said a big amen. 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 Come on, can we celebrate with everybody who prayed that prayer? One more thing before you dismiss, and that is, if you did pray that prayer today, I want to give you something. And what I want to give you is two things. One, I want to give you the Word of God. You need the Bible. This is God's love story to you, and I want to give you a Bible today. That way you can have the Word of God in your life. Number two is, I want to help you with your next steps. You're like, man, I prayed a prayer like that. I accepted Jesus, but what do I do now? It's a great question, but a question that we want to help you to see what God has to say about your next steps. You see, we have two Bible words. One is called justification and one is called sanctification. Justification was the moment you prayed that prayer. Instantly you were justified with God and you are now part of God's family. You stand in righteousness and you stand in the rightfulness of through Jesus to God your Father. It happened. Moment. Done. It's over with. You are saved by grace through faith. That's what that means. But sanctification means now I got to walk through this process. And sanctification is where I'm now becoming more like Christ every single day. And God begins to shed off the things in my life that don't need to be there. So I want to help you with those things. And I want to give you some tools. And our team is all across this room ready to do that. But we also, number three, want to celebrate with you. We were once there, all of us in this room. And we'd love to celebrate with you as a church family to say welcome to the family of God. So would you do something? Would you have some faith today, some strength today? When I say three, if that was you, would you lift your hand and say, Pastor, that was me. I prayed that prayer for the first time where I rededicated my life. And I want to celebrate with you. I want to give you those things. Ready? One, two, three. Lift your hand. Come on. Come on. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. Lift them high. God bless you. God bless you. Our team is moving now. Come on. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for every single person today. I pray, Lord, you would bless them. Let them walk in your favor and your peace. We thank you, Lord, that you are mighty God and that you can do mighty things. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Everyone said a big amen. Amen. Love you, church. We'll see you Christmas Eve. And